Here we are, hitting up events, drinking our way through Chicago beer, and trying not to miss a thing.
Yeah, because, you know, got a cork popped out, boom, it flies like fucking 10 feet. We're like, yeah, let's do it.
You know, all you have to do is add some fruit, stir it up, and ride that milkshake wave.
Whenever I see him, I gotta take a photo with the most decorated brewer in Chicago, Jonathan Cutler.
It'll be like the stuff you hear. You ever go to every time you go to Floyd's, all the music sounds like this. Raw, raw, raw.
Sometimes you want a small beer, but really, you want a big beer.
You gotta take in all those big aromatic hops.
Hey, what are you doing this weekend? Waiting in line for a bottle release?
Should have never been a fad. The Black IPA is delicious.
Hey, and welcome to Chicago Beer Pass. I'm Brad Chmielewski.
Brad, what's up, man? I'm Nick White.
And we're in March here, but no Irish Reds.
You know, you can see the beginning of the takeover for Brad's annual party when you come to the studio. And God help us all.
Yeah, but, you know, we're keeping it, we're going black here. Black IPA?
Not quite. This is a black pilsner. Genuine Authentic is the name. It's from Workforce, Plainfield, Illinois. Hello.
Yeah. Oh. I saw this on the shelf, or I don't remember where I was. I think I was at Binny's, and I saw this, and I was like, that is interesting enough for me to pick that up, but I don't know if I'm going to love it when I bought it.
Yeah. Because it immediately reminds you of the evening kolsch that Half Acre had on our romp, our ridiculous romp through Chicago Brewing District. No, Malt Row.
Yeah.
And
that angered me.
Because it's that evening kolsch. And we're like, you know what? We've been drinking all day. Bring on the kolsch.
Yeah.
And then we get the kolsch, and the kolsch is black. And we're like, well, what the fuck? This is the people. The people did not ask for this.
Yeah, I remember, I'm sure we've talked about this before. I don't remember what I thought I was getting with the Evelyn Kolsch, maybe something a little sweeter.
Yeah.
I did not expect a dark Kolsch.
Yeah, this at least in name is telling you what it is. So they're already better in my mind.
Right, book. If it's a black Kolsch, I'd be like, okay.
Yeah, we probably wouldn't have got it.
But here I am getting this black Pilsner.
Right.
I'm still indifferent about it drink it.
I don't know what to make of it. Usually with something dark, you want it roasty, right? Or, you know, that's what you're used to having. You don't really get roasty. It doesn't. Or if it's like a cola, like what did I have? I had a Sapporo Black Lager with some Chinese food. And a Sapporo Black Lager kind of felt like a cola a little bit. It was like a little roasty cola flavors. Okay. And it was enjoyable, but it was very intentional. But this is like, I'm not sure, like, why we're drinking.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's not roasty enough. It's not crisp enough. And then being those dark malts, it kind of messes with my, I don't really know how big this beer is. Like, it's probably on the lower side because it's a Pilsner, but then I think the dark malts make me think like, well, I should take it easy.
Yeah. It's a strange dynamic. This, Genuine Authentic from the Workforce guys. And I like the Workforce guys.
Right.
Yeah.
And one reason I picked this up is because on our last episode, we interviewed Two Hound Red.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And he was at Workforce.
He used to brew at Workforce. I want to say he brewed at Two Brothers, too, maybe? No, definitely Limestone.
Two Brothers, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's got some roots. Cheers to Steve Wardendyke. That was a good hang. Mm-hmm. I was excited about that. Monday night, the place was closed, you know, and we drank a lot.
Yeah, it was just us hanging out at the bar
with our
interview. Hopefully you enjoyed the video. Audio was kind of iffy at times.
So. It reminded me of Pilot Project, or it reminded me of Forbidden Root.
Yeah, a little bit. After we were done recording that, we needed some food, mm-hmm. and the brew pub there, they were closed because it was Monday.
So I think we talked about more, I think, right?
Talked about more. Yeah. But then we decided on Noon Whistle.
Yeah.
And I'm indifferent about that, too. It was food. We needed to eat, but we got there, and most of the menu wasn't available.
Right. And except they have cheese curds, and then they have tacos. Mm-hmm. Now, you know.
And some pretzels.
I'm here all day for these things. You know.
Yeah. You know, it sounds like a win.
I mean, let's do it, you know. These tacos are $14. So we get the tacos, and I'm like, is this a... I don't mind paying $14 for a taco if it's a $14 taco.
Right.
You know, the tacos I make at home are not $14 tacos.
No.
And this kind of felt like that a little bit.
Okay, yeah.
So I was a little, yeah, it left something to be desired.
And then your cheese curds were just a basically someone took a string cheese and with some scissors and cut them into little nuggets
and
microwaved it.
Well done. In the microwave.
No breading.
Yeah, super weird. So I've been to, I went to New Glarus once, and they don't cook it at all. They just warm it a little bit in the microwave and throw a little olive oil on it. So it's basically just a raw cheese curd.
Yeah.
It was like that, but they deep fried it well done with nothing.
With
no breading. I'm like, what style of cheese curd are we eating right now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did enjoy my beer I had. I had, I don't know, whatever the light beer was.
Yeah. I think I had the, I had a sour. I had a kettle sour that I liked.
We avoided the gummies because they burned us on the Sox and the Cubs gummy.
Yeah.
I will not go back.
No. I was, especially with the super cool artwork, I was really bummed out that I didn't, that.
So.
Is this the old man, I think this is the old man podcast is back,
right? Light beer and.
And fuck those hazies. Yeah. And I'll tell you another
not
thing.
Not paying $14 for tacos. Come on.
Make
this shit at home.
The grumpy old man podcast is a. Rides again.
Yeah. They were rocking on some trivia when we walked in there, but I hadn't been at Noon Whistle since they expanded. They bought that Whirly Ball space and expanded in there.
That's what it was. Yeah, because it was two storefronts, and it wasn't that big last time.
Yeah, it's huge now.
It was a massive space.
And we were, like, great for them. They also have the Naperville location, too.
And, they do?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So they got two locations, and we're just wondering... Who's drinking Noon Whistle? We're out here wondering who's drinking it because we talked at Two Hound Red.
Yeah.
Getting people into Glen Ellyn in general is tough. If you're in Glen Ellyn, you go to your brew pub. But
right.
People from I don't know, Lombard or
whatever the
Naperville,
border, Wheaton.
They're not coming to Glen Ellyn to go to the brewery. So.
That's true, because all the surrounding towns, I feel like, have a brewery, right?
Yeah.
That's part of the issue, I think. Yeah. That and...
So are people in Lombard not going... They're only going to Noon Whistle?
Right. Or they're going...
And then they're like, let's get to Naperville, because there's the most people there. So we're going to do that, because Naperville people aren't coming to Noon Whistle Lombard.
I did not know that Noon Whistle had two locations.
Yeah.
God, I'm out of loop, man. What was I going to say? Oh, you're talking about the Glen Ellyn Two Hound Red guy. I will say he gives I give him credit for he's making beer flavored beer. He's got a black lager. He's got a straight up pale ale. I think we had a
mild.
Yeah, an English mild. So he's like, making beer styles that if you like this, you'll order another beer.
Yeah,
right. Nothing trendy. He's kind of waving the flag for that type of brewing. So
and
I'd like that.
He wants you to have multiple beers, which. Often those like more traditional or less trendy styles allow you to have more than one because they're like 4 to 6%.
Yeah, or they're very dense. Fatigue on the tongue. You don't really can't really even have them with food. That sort of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was cool.
Noon Whistle. Awesome to see that they're doing so well.
Yeah.
I don't. If you're drinking Noon Whistle beer, let me know. I'd love to. Find out more about what they're doing and if they can redeem us on the gummy series at some point ever.
I wonder what happened, man. Big hot burn, just some very, some very odd flavors when you line them up next to other beers of that style. It was different and not in a fair way.
And then they got, I understand, especially hazy beers like that, you will kind of want to drink them even more fresh than you would your typical IPA. So, but they got like real bad if you kept them for even like a week but longer.
Yeah.
It was weird.
Yeah.
But so we had to go back. We had to revisit them. And they delivered. They didn't they didn't let us down on the beer front this time.
I was trying to do some research because I had a ton of pictures from Two Hound Red. So I was trying to understand what was there before. And, you know, the robot, ChatGPT, is like, there is no Two Hound Red in Glen Ellyn. I'm like, fuck you, there is. He's like, no, it's in Sonoma Valley, California. And then I realized they don't keep anything prior to, I think, 2021. After 2021, they don't have anything on it.
What, in the ChatGPT?
Yeah, so if you ask it about Two Hound Red, they know nothing. Oh. Which is kind of funny. Oh, but it did say, I'm like, well, tell me about Glen Ellyn Breweries. And that building was the Glen Ellyn Beer Company. I don't know if he said that in the interview.
Oh, because he said it used to be a
right,
a pharmacy.
And then it sat vacant for like 6 years, and then it was a brewery, according to the robot. So I don't know if that's true.
Well, the robot does not know stuff.
The robot does not know stuff.
Yeah.
But now I'm wondering.
Neither do we.
But we're not much different from the robot. But you look, there was a Glen Ellyn Beer Company.
Okay.
There was one that has a website. Still, the jury's still out if whether or not it was that building, but it wasn't. There was a Glen Ellyn Brewery before that.
Interesting.
So that was good to know. I didn't know that.
Right. Okay. So that was a couple weeks ago, and even before that, we were out and about a little bit. You made it to Beguile's Best Friends Are 10 again. What's it called?
Best Friends Turn 10, Bottles and Cans, and Beguile. Go to Beguile a lot more than Bottles and Cans. Bottles and Cans is not on my route. So.
I think I've only been there once in my whole life.
I think I was on my way to my mom's, and it was a last minute thing, and I needed something, and I was there. So okay. I grabbed it. I happened to be around there and grabbed it. Yeah, this was in Ravenswood at the Artifacts Art Center. Kevin said that they're steering away from having events like this, and they just want to throw music festivals. Music
at Artifacts, not Beguile.
Not Beguile, right, okay. At the venue that they were partying at. So that's why they had three bands. He's like, well, this isn't a party. This is a concert with a beer fest around it. Okay. And that's kind of how it felt. So there's essentially, I would say, a collection of like five rooms and a stage. So it's just like, it's basically like, you feel like you're partying in someone's mansion, right? Mm. Just a ton of space. Food trucks are in the back in a courtyard. And then, you know, there's a cocktail whiskey library. And then a full bar that's serving cocktails. There's bird cages that you can sit in. Like, picture like go-go girls dancing in cages. You know, shit like that. Right. There's a bar that overlooks the stage. You know, there's a bar to the left of the stage. Mm. And there's two different upstairs places. One is... one's a cocktail bar, the other one, you can play video games and shit.
Okay.
Like, this is a hang. It is a proper fucking party here.
What was Beguile pouring?
I think the first beer I had was Hop Hazardly.
Oh, yeah.
From them. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the only Beguile beer I had, actually. Because that was the first beer you could get when you walked and got your cup, you know. Okay. You get your cup, you get a ticket to, you know, hang your own coat. And then the first station is a Beguile station. But they did have, like, five beers.
Okay.
Ran into Hop Review.
Nice.
Cheers to them. And then when you walk in, the first options are the beer. Beer and food. Those most of the beer and most of the food. Okay. And then you walk past that, and then all the other adventures are there.
Cool. So what were the other beer choices?
I enjoyed the Saint Laurent. Okay. Cheers to those guys. They're their latest beer.
Which, you talked to someone there, right? We had a conversation in the car going to 200 Red that... They're basically screwed.
They're,
right?
Like, well, they've been typecast as, you know, they can only make action movies, if you will, right? If they were making movies, the only type of movies they can make are action films, right?
Or more likely horror movies because they got to be on a low budget.
So they were brewing. I think they started out brewing. I don't know why I'm playing with this thing. They started out brewing at Microphone, mm-hmm. And then they started brewing at Beguile, and now they're brewing between Temperance. And shit, I want to say Noon Whistle.
Okay.
Right? Or I always confuse Noon Whistle and Pollyanna.
Oh, okay.
I want to say Noon Whistle. They're brewing between Temperance and Noon Whistle, so they're stationed between these two.
Okay.
Yeah. And
I didn't see Saint Laurent on the menu.
No, it was kind of a blur, but they were there.
Yeah.
I think what he said was, you know, by the time you pay, because they're, you know, they're a... they're not a ghost brewery.
They're like a contract
brewery. They're a contract brewery.
A gypsy brewery.
Gypsy brewery. So by the time you pay to brew on someone else's system, you know, your price point to make any profit has to be like 17, 18 bucks for this four pack, which kind of limits the type of beers you can put in that format, right? So they really like lagers, but they, you know, they can't put their $18 lager into Dovetail's $9 for in the same format lager.
Right.
And it just wouldn't work out.
Maybe one out of 50 people pick it up. But.
So they're kind of forced to make like a certain type of beer to kind of keep that model going. And then they said, why don't we move to Texas? So I wonder what the future holds for just in general for St. Laurent. Because they were kind of like, I want to say they were that little precursor before Phase 3 came online. And before
Hot Butcher.
Before Hot Butcher was making a ton of beer, you know, you'd run out and get fresh St. Laurent every week or whatever you could. And so there was a little window in time where I was chasing them all the time.
But now, if they're kind of without a home, they lost one of their people.
Yeah.
They could almost fizzle away and no one would notice, right?
Well, now Phase 3 and really more so Hot Butcher is kind of like for you go to them for those kind of styles.
Right.
Basically, yeah. More so than you would St. Laurent.
And then St. Laurent was doing like they had the little buddy style cans, but those were like big stouts.
Yeah, I think they were the first ones that hit you with the little buddy can.
You would do like Microphone or more for that same style.
That's true.
Of beer, so that's kind of a bummer that St. Laurent is kind of like in a weird spot.
Yeah. So St. Laurent was there. Speaking of Phase 3, they brought Minutiae, which is their barrel aged non adjunct stout. Rev brought Double Bill VSOJ. Everyone Off Color brought beer for tacos. All the brewers were pouring in most cases.
Is Rev just gonna like hang on to barrels of this to like show up? So people like get hyped, like.
It was the buzz at the car show was that Rev's bringing the real VSOJ.
Right, like what Goose Island did with different variants for like a while, where people were like, oh, maybe they got this, maybe they're bringing this one, and they might show up. We're like, ugh, Rev's doing this now with this double barrel.
Same playbook, right? We've seen it before, right? People get excited.
And they can have those lines.
Yeah.
At the festivals, so people are like, Oh, Revolution? Hmm.
Oh. We saw, who did we saw? We saw Carl from the Hippos, Carl and Mary Lee. And we were asking Carl, does anyone disagree with, we were talking about the brewer's license law that they're trying to change so brewers can ship direct to consumer.
Yeah.
Because he was on his way to Springfield for that. And he was like, why would anybody disagree with this? He's like, he brought up some very good points about a brewer's perspective on why this bill is important, So it was good to see him. What else? Other than that, man, I just hung out in the whiskey library, man. Koval was there. There was some Malort cocktails. Castle and Key, that's a new distillery online.
Oh, cool.
They were there. And they were making beer cocktails. So one was a beer cocktail with Bagal Blonde. The other one was like a coffee-infused cocktail.
Are you a fan of beer cocktails?
I enjoyed these beer cocktails.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
I like the cocktails and I like the beer.
Yeah.
We don't need to put them together.
Yeah, I don't know if you need them both.
Yeah, I don't know if you need them both. Like they don't have to. They live separate lives.
They do. They do. Yeah, I do. I rarely seek them out. In fact, I do not seek them out.
Yeah.
I drink them a lot at this thing.
Okay.
Because I already had my seat in the bird cage. Yeah.
Dancing.
Yeah. You know, I'm doing my go-go dancing,
So give me another cocktail.
And the cocktails are right here. So I'm like, this is primo seating. I'm just going to get another cocktail.
Okay.
So I had them that night. That's what I remember, man.
Yeah, I was disappointed.
Where were you, man?
I got some food poisoning. It was either like a salad dressing or I food poisoned myself on accident.
So that's not good.
It was rough. And I was not 100% come for the best friends event.
Yeah.
But then the next day, I tested fate and I went over to Mars for Punschke Fest. Mm. Started at, I believe, not 10 to, or not, 11 o'clock.
Not the satellite Mars. There's Mars.
Yeah, I was back there again, which I'm like disappointed that I like had to go back there because I was like, all right, my one time for the year. I went like 2 months in a row.
Really?
I forget. I was just there.
Huh.
And so, yeah, all the way Bridgeport, really not that far. But no.
Maybe.
It just felt like I was like just there. If you like look in our Instagram feed, it's like, oh, yeah, a few posts back, there's another Mars picture.
Yeah.
But Fat Tuesday was happening, and so they do this Punchki Fest where they have their Punchki Stout. Mm-hmm. And they had two flavors. They had a pistachio and a, I want to say, creme brulee for some
reason. I like the one you brought one year, the rose water one. That's the only one I like now.
Yeah, that's Alliance makes the rose Bunchki.
Fantastic stuff, Brad.
Alliance Bakery in Wicker Park is one of the best like Bunchki places, I think, around.
Now, is this there. Was this who brought these Bunchkis?
Bridgeport Bakery and another one, and so we ended up getting a. Oh, I can't remember the two flavors we got now off the top of my head. We got a cannoli. No, did we get a cannoli one or a pistachio?
Cannoli Punchki?
Yeah. Hmm. And then we got a poppy seed one.
Oh, no Jardiniere Punchki.
Huh?
No Jardiniere?
No Jardiniere.
I saw somebody had a Jardiniere.
That's ridiculous.
The sandwich place that the bread's too hard in West Loop. Hmm. They had a Jardiniere one.
Okay.
And I'm like,
no. No, thanks. I don't need hot.
Like, you stuffed the whole thing with Jardiniere? God,
I need hot stuff with my sweet dough.
Yeah, sounds silly.
The Punchki Stout, it's fine. The Punchkis, they were okay. I've had better ones. I've had worse ones. Mm-hmm. It was fun having them with the Stout. I feel like that was the reason I went. I wanted to have the Punchki and the Stout together. And experience that, and that was cool.
Yeah, for sure.
But then at the same time, you're just like, it's almost too decadent.
Really?
Like, you're just like.
So the stout doesn't leave room. You know, some stouts, they leave room. They're dry. They're not overly this was sweet. Kinda,
it wasn't.
It leaves room for you to appreciate sweet, something next to it. But it was
thin, and I didn't think they complemented each other that well. And so I'm glad I did it. But I wasn't going to buy a 4-pack of one of the flavors. Yeah. Like, if there was maybe a mixed 4-pack, maybe. But I wasn't going to buy 4 pistachio stouts.
That's true. Welcome to Chicago Beer Pass, the podcast where we like nothing.
I like it a little bit. I don't like it enough.
We don't like anything.
To experience at all. Yeah. But it was cool. It was packed, man. Like, they opened at, it was like 10 or 11. There was already people set up in there going.
You know they're making bourbon now. Well, they got bourbon and gin and all kind of shit, too. They're on that little cobblestone street, kind of off the beaten path. I like Mars.
I think I saw a handful of people in there with like kids and stuff, and I think that's a great little outing for families, especially kids love donuts of any kind.
Yeah, that's true.
So you take them there, you can kind of have them shut up for a little go bit crazy. While you have, and they have the arcade back there.
They do have an arcade.
Like, I like going, there's a lot I like about Mars and a lot that's like, but yeah. I think it's a great space. All their beer is typically very good.
Yeah, Jungle Boogies is the one I seem to get the most.
They have a nice food menu. Oh, they have food. The space is nice. Yeah, they got food. We ate there one time after we went to an event, and then we went there.
Oh, for food? I know they have food.
Yeah. So, that was Mars. So, 2 times already this year. It's kind of like, damn, I was kind of.
I like it, man. I like it. Brad gets around. Sneaky. It's when you least expect it.
Brad's... I'm going to go to Tinley Park this weekend.
See?
And I'm going to have to decide. I'm going to go to Will Turner's spot.
Oh, yeah. They got like 4 spots out there.
Right? What he's not.
Brothership. Who's the place? The metal place that the guy used to work at Floyd's. They make tacos. Sound Growler. Hailstorm. Flipside.
Yeah. So Will Turner's at Hailstorm.
Yes.
So I think I'm going to push to go to Hailstorm and Sound Growler. I'm going to miss.
They're close. Yeah. The other ones.
Yeah. I've never.
No Brothership, no Flipside.
I've never been to those two.
I've never been to Brothership.
which maybe I should do that. But I do like the tacos. It depends on how.
SoundCrawl is nice. And SoundCrawl has got those cool windows that you can sit in and eat. And,
yeah.
Yeah. I like those. Simple guys.
And I haven't been in years. Like or I went during the pandemic and picked up beers.
Yeah.
But I haven't been in a long time. So I'm going to go farther than Mars next time.
Suburb Brad on the scene.
Yeah.
Live and direct.
But this past weekend, you went out to the suburbs.
You know, I was following you. I was following your footsteps.
I was going to do it. Know? I was going to go to Exit Strategy.
Yeah. It's only 10 miles from downtown. I was telling Brad in the pre-show, you could take the streets. It's the same route we took when we interviewed Heather and Jana at the Oak Forest Microbrew Review. Oak Park Microbrew Review. Yeah. It's not crazy far. I was out. I was looking at records. I was done with records. And I'm like, what do I do? And I just ended up going. So
Exit Strategy, this used to be called something else.
I don't think so.
No?
Exit Strategy is Forest Park's first brewery. So Forest Park's the town next to Oak Park. So right. This is their first brewery.
I thought it was called something else and it renamed.
Are you thinking of One Lake? Because the only time we drink these beers from Exit Strategy or One Lake is when we're in Oak Park.
But I've been to this place.
Oh, you've been to Exit Strategy?
I've been to this
place. Oh, that, you've been to that building and it was something else.
That's what I'm wondering.
Huh. Was Exit Strategy now? I couldn't tell you what it was. Space is great. You know, they apparently just stopped making food. They were making food up until January and they stopped.
Oh, okay. Because I was confused because the burger guy.
Biker Dude Burgers,
was going to be there. I was like, they have food. Even when I went years ago, they had food. I remember eating there.
Uh-huh.
Maeve and I sat at the bar.
Yeah.
And we drank. Maybe it was called Extra Stretchy, but I'd been there.
Yeah.
And so I was confused why he was there serving burgers when they had food.
Yeah.
So they stopped.
They stopped serving food a month ago.
They didn't have anyone to make it, did they? They're probably late.
When you walk in, you could tell this door, it looks like a door that leads to a kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we were looking for knives for the burgers. And we're like, they didn't have them. But there was a birthday party up front where they had it.
Yeah.
I like the space because the bar kind of.
From kids?
Right. We're like, hey, kid.
Give me your knife.
Don't cut that cake. We need this knife for our burger. When you walk in, there's a seating area, and then there's a bar after that, and then after that is a whole nother bar, which is kind of cool. I like that. So the kids are partying, and no one cares because we're so far removed. You know.
Yeah, and it's a big space. I feel like there was another time I went there because doing bike rides to the West Burr breweries, you can take that route because it's only, like you said, 10 minutes from the city, and you can bike right past this brewery. And it's a good little stop in or on the way back before you, like, do your final miles home.
Yeah. That's hardcore. That's out of my league right there. A little too advanced for me, as the kids would say.
But so you went for the burger.
Yeah. I'm like, Brad had the burger. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll run into Brad here. If not, either I don't feel like going home. It's nice. So I'm going to get the burger.
I was like this close to going because the biker guy said, like, yo, hit me up in the back.
That's right.
I got your burger. And I was like, man, I got to go. He's going to like, it's a free burger, right?
So that's the first thing I do. I'm like, I get there early. I introduce myself. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm with Beer Pass. My buddy Brad loves you. He loves your band. You know, just wanted to come say hi. He's like, hey, yeah, you know. He was like super nice. Super nice dude. Yeah. And he's like, you know, he's telling me what burger to get. And he's like, yeah, go inside. You know, we'll take care of everything. And I'm like, all right, sweet. And then he gave me some of the little special sauce. I mean, the special herbs that go on the burger.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was very excited about that. And he's like, yeah, you know, I'm based in the burbs. And my butcher's in the burbs. And, you know, we really put a lot of effort into it. We've been doing this for 3 years. We got 3 years of data. So we know how many burgers we're bringing.
3 years?
They've been doing it for 3 years, he said.
I feel like I first heard about this from Chris Jacobson had posted about it and had talked about it.
Same. When they did their city route, he was super jazzed about it because it was going to sell hot the next day.
Right.
And I'm like, yeah.
But that's so far.
Right. So, but you know, he's like, yeah, you know, it's a blend of steak and short and I think short rib and brisket. I think steak and brisket, I think is what he said. But he's like, yeah, man, you know, it's been rolling. We're just really happy. And we try to give people a really good burger.
Okay.
You know, so I was jazzed. So I'm in there. And I see a couple guys from the city that I just see at stuff all the time. And they're like, yeah, man, this is the closest spot to the city. That's why I'm out here.
Okay.
And you see another dude. And this dude's like showing me pictures of all the places he's been. to following the guy.
That's probably the guy I talked to. There, like, he's got a following. He's like a band.
It's
like,
funny.
He just makes burgers. You can make burgers. Like, I can't play guitar like a band. I think I could get closer to making a really good burger than I could... Than being a rock star.
I mean, that's fair.
Right?
I think that's an accurate statement.
I'm good going against this guy's burgers, but...
He's like, the guy's like, what'd you order? I'm like, well, you know, they told me to get the classic, but my buddy's getting the stoner burger.
Okay.
And then this guy's like super passionate. He's like, well, I'll just have you know that your buddy just out-ordered you because it's amazing. He starts showing me photos of it. And like, people are just like very excited about these burgers, you know? Yeah. So then we get the food and I'm like, well, goddamn, I can see, it all makes sense. As soon as you get it and as soon as you look at it and you're like, okay, but does it deliver? And then as soon as you take a bite, you're like, okay, I understand now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, it's good. The chip selection is weak.
I think it's that part they'll figure out, right? Because remember when Kuma's first opened, Kuma's used to sell waffle fries. And then after a while, they made the call. They're like, why would we have a world-class burger and we're doing these waffle fries? So then they moved to fresh-cut fries.
Okay.
So I think, because I think you get like a complimentary, you get a free bag of chips, and it's like, Lay's, like a
Costco box.
Mixed Costco box of Lay's, yeah. But I'm like, shit, just... You don't need anything with these burgers.
You don't really need the chips. But the chips are there because you're like, where the fuck is my burger? I'm hungry.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You're like waiting for your food to like be ready. And so I saw you tweet that, they sold out in 30 minutes?
Done in a half hour, yeah.
Okay, so.
Yeah, so they flipped the sign and they're done. It's funny because people still march up and ask, well, shit, what time was I supposed to get here?
You gotta get there like 30 minutes before it happens.
At least. And some folks were saying that the longest line they've been to was Art History a few weeks ago. And it was like an hour before he starts selling that people are lined up. An hour before the start.
For a burger.
For burgers. I'm like, oh, shit. He's like, yeah. So he's like, this is kind of tame because people start lining up. I say maybe like 10 minutes before start time.
Right. This was the first time I've seen him post that he's been at our exit strategy.
Same. We talked about microphone and exit strategy probably as close as we'll get.
So hop to it's the Sturdy Shelter, a few other places. But yeah, this is the first time I've seen him there, which was one reason I was going to think about going or I thought about going.
Yeah. So, I mean, Brad gets a lot of credit for this because Brad made the connect. Brad posted some sweet photos, got Burger Dude's attention. And I'm like, well, I'm just here on Brad's behalf.
To take full
advantage of these burgers. It's like, I accept this award. I accept this award.
Okay, so I think last time we talked about this, he's got 15 burgers. All right, so we gotta figure out the menu. You got two burgers.
Yeah.
And they sold out in 30 minutes.
Yeah.
The person taking the orders.
Yeah.
And you're ringing up your card. You gotta give your order. This is at least a minute, right? Like, the fastest you're doing this is a minute.
Yeah.
So everyone's most likely getting two burgers.
Yeah, sure.
I was a crazy person, only got one, so I probably messed up the flow of this line. So there's 60 burgers, 25 to 60 burgers. I'd say 30 to 60 burgers.
I'd agree with that.
That's it.
Yeah. He got a kick out of it. He's like, I listened to the show when Brad said I only brought 9 burgers.
Okay. But you could almost do the math if you show up to Art History.
Yeah.
And you see 20 people in line.
It's probably a wrap for you.
You don't do it.
Your goose is cooked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that he's only focused on burbs, right? Because to be honest with you, I probably would have never bothered going to Exit Strategy, it's just not on my route. You go to stuff on your route. But part of the draw was that he was going to be there. So.
Right.
And so it's cool that he highlights suburban breweries. That's what I'm saying.
I went to Sturdy Shelter.
Same thing, right.
And not that I wouldn't go to Riverlands again, but knowing he's there, I was like, oh, it's almost an excuse to go to some of these places again. Or you're like, okay, I'll go out there. It's like an added benefit.
And you know what's funny? I was thinking about this, man. It's important because... look at all the stuff that we go to in the city, and we see the usual suspects at these things that we all get invited to. Right? Yeah. See the same fuckers there. Of the fuckers that we always see, the only ones going to the burbs is us. So it's, you know, it's cool in that respect too. Like, we know if we don't go, we won't know what's out there if we don't go.
Right.
So, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good burger. It's a good burger.
It was fun.
And how was the beer? How's the beer?
Yeah, let's talk about the beer. Yeah. They had a beer called Judgmental Dick, which was a double IPA.
Okay.
They had a beer, a dry hop saison collab with Skeleton Key. That might have been my favorite beer today. Very Allagash White-esque. It used a flower.
Okay.
Chrysanthemum? I don't know. But I looked that up, and it's like, that's a thing. It was in a magazine how brewers, it's a trend that brewers are making beers infused with this flower.
Oh, cool.
So I had those two, and then I had the Exit Strategy Pale Ale. Yeah.
Nice.
You know, it's funny, man. Now, tell me if you know, these beers are really good because we were drinking before the burgers came. But then when the burger came out and we had a sip of the beer, we're like, well, damn, is the beer still good?
Oh, right? Really?
I don't know. We were trying to figure it out. And I'm like,
your palate was heightened.
It was heightened by this, by the power of this burger. Because I'm like, well, that doesn't happen at Peace. Because I was at Peace this week. And I'm like, well, shit, I get the honey butter fried chicken pizza at Peace. And I have Peace beer. And I go back and forth. And I don't notice any difference.
You know? Yeah.
I don't feel a different way. So that was something I noticed.
But that's where somewhere like Peace is. Not that maybe they're thinking about the flavors together, but they know people are doing these things all the time together. The burger's not always there.
So maybe it's that, right?
It's not like...
Yeah. Because it was weird.
Vice versa. Someone's be like, I don't like this beer after I had this. And then maybe they change the recipe. Or they're like, yeah, don't put, I don't know, something in the burger. Like, it's messing with your right. flavor yeah. here. Like, so,
I like the beers. Yeah. The beers were good. I didn't notice a difference after I had the break.
Interesting.
So mm-hmm. now I'm just going to be doing that all week now to see see if it's isolated.
You're just going to be eating things?
And then, like, and seeing if
pull out like a beef jerky. Oh, yeah, the beer is no good.
Here's a list of beers that I changed my mind about after I had some food.
After I had a Slim Jim, don't drink that beer.
But yeah, man, so. Oh, God.
Yeah, all right. So you're also at Peace?
Yeah, I popped it first. Just I was starving, man.
Okay. I think I'm going to try to go next week back to Peace, see what the beers are doing.
It was one of those days after work where I'm just like, I don't want to go home. There's no food at home. So I'm like, fuck it. Small pizza, a couple beers at the bar.
Yeah, the lunch pizza, or even the lunch pizza is a good size pizza. Yeah. It's like four slices.
And I like that slot, that weeknight slot, right before they close.
Okay.
Because they stop, I think, at 9.
Okay.
So.
Beers are, you feel like they're...
Oh,
back. They're back.
Peace is back.
Back.
It's good to see them back, too. Okay. I was like, welcome back, Peace. They got whole new beers on. They got a barley wine that's not Moose Knuckle. It's not called Moose Knuckle. And I'm like, did you just rename it? Is it Moose Knuckle? They're like, no, it's a whole different. So the guy from Tennessee who used to be at Peace and came back, he's making his own beers.
Oh, that's cool. Peace. Not just
classics.
But he's doing those, too.
Yeah. Okay. Even in the same style sometimes. Like, this is a different barley wine.
That's fun.
So.
Okay, cool. Yeah, I'm excited to check that out coming up here soon. Awesome. Any other spots or any other things? Well, while the Best Friends event happening was the Brewpub shootout that same day. Like, it was a busy weekend.
The city was active, man. You know, the auto show, Friday Night Flights was that weekend. Best Friends was that weekend.
Brewpub shootout.
Yeah. And who knew, man? Who knew that this fucking... this Best Friends, we should have known it was going to be good because they always party with Dovetail, but I don't see that as a Bagal party necessarily. But dude, Bagal threw one hell of a party. I think this weekend is this. I know it's only February, but this is the standard. I think
it's the start.
Yeah, for like a killer weekend, it was really good.
Bagal's already announced their Mayfest anniversary. It's already like up. They already got the date. You can RSVP on Facebook. They're rocking.
Yeah, Brewpub Shootout was at Metro. Okay. And let's talk some winners here. God damn it, Brad.
Okay.
This Chicago Beer Society, this is like the 24th Brewpub Shootout.
Damn.
So it's a beer and food pairing, right? And then they have first, second, and third, but they don't call it first, second, and third. They call it champion and then favorite. So those are the top three. let's see, let's go straight to the beer. The top beer was Off Colors beer, the beer that you got, the dumpling beer.
Oh,
whatever that beer is called. Is it maybe
Saifang?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was the top beer, followed by Double Clutch and Flipside.
Flipside.
Flipside came Flipside. In third for favorite beer.
Flipside.
Tinley Park. That's where Brad's going there this weekend.
Yeah, I gotta make a. I'm gonna have to make a last minute call because I have to go to Hale Store.
Yeah.
And then, what do I do? What do I do? Flipside. You weren't even on the list. Like they weren't. I'm like, all right, maybe Brothership, maybe some.
Yeah.
Flipside.
Yeah. So they came in third for favorite beer. And then there's favorite foods. The champion was Brickstone, followed by Rev.
They're still around?
Yeah, Brickstone, they're champions. They are the champions. Not only are they around, but they're the champs. And you know what's funny? I saw them at Friday Night Flights. They make the house beer for fucking McCormick Place.
Okay.
So this is the first time we talked about Brickstone probably in a year.
Yeah.
Some funny shit.
But, I thought they were gone.
So Brickstone, followed by Revolution and Half Acre for food. And then you have the pairings.
Wait, Half Acre for food?
Yeah.
They're like notoriously known for like not doing a good job with their food. They were doing such a bad job. They were going to have Big Star come in and take it over because they're like, yeah, our focus is not food.
This is a fact. All everything Brad said. And, you know, they righted the ship, man. They got their shit together, and now they're...
Do, like, some pork belly thing. And people are like, oh,
and,
yeah.
And, you know, shame on the fucking Beer Society for not posting, like, what these things were.
Oh, they didn't
All they posted was the name, the name of the breweries that won. And they didn't post what it was. And then there's the pairings, right? Number one for the second year in a row for pairing is Ayers.
Oh, okay.
Followed by Off Color with the Dumpling Guys, and then Flipside, third. So they were third in beer, and then they were third in pairings, beer and food. That's crazy. I want to say this about Aris, man. The best thing at Aris is this, and this is what they had. They had the, it was a play on peanut butter and jelly, so they had the blueberry mosaic cider, dry hop cider, and then they had it with their chocolate peanut butter pie. This is the best fucking pie ever. It's not on the menu. It's not even on the menu right now. It's out of season. It's not, it hadn't been on the menu for 6 months. And then these people took it and entered it into this festival. And I'm like, I'm just so mad at them because I, you know, it's right around the corner.
Yeah.
So.
Is the, for the Brewpub Shootout Aris winning, was it a beer or was it a cider? Did it, but we don't, it doesn't
It was the best combination of beer and food. Oh, no, but it was the cider. It was whatever the blueberry cider is. It's a blueberry cider that's dry hop with mosaic, whatever that cider is called. They won for that. Well, shit, let's look it up, man.
Okay.
But yeah, but cheers to them, man. I don't think I've ever been to that party.
I've been once when it was in Bridgeport. It's a fun event. It's also like a little overwhelming. Like I don't even remember if I voted, but you're basically thrown with so many flavors because like there's a lot to eat and you want to eat the beer and the food with it, so you're like going around to like each kind of station and doing your thing and you're almost lost in it all at some point, which makes me wonder, like something like this blueberry cider, you are going to win on things that like stand out more so than anything else, like the beer from Off Color, the Saifang, and those dumplings, they're great. But no one else was probably doing dumplings. Dumplings stand out in the fact that, like, not everyone's getting dumplings. So it's like, oh, yeah, the dumplings. Oh, yeah, and that beer was great.
I'm so fucking annoyed with this.
I think the event is very cool, and I just wonder, like, where the balance or the line is on, like, the combination, because it's, I know Haymarket has been there before, but is like a...
Van Mojo is the name of that site.
Oh, yeah. Is like a Haymarket red ale and one of their sausages. Like, does that just feel like... Or one of their, like, swing and sing... Oh, not swing and sing. That's the...
That's Peace. Oh, you're thinking like of a, like Oscar's Pardon.
Yeah, like that with
Angry Birds
with the sausage.
Yeah.
Are you goes well together, but it's almost like, I can get that all the time.
I think you're onto something because... Courtney, Courtney works at Metro, but before that, she was a pastry chef at Rev and at Three Floyds. Oh, yeah. But she won Brewpub Shootout with pastries 3 years in a row. So I think you may be onto something, like just the shock value. Well, it's got to be good too, but then yeah, it's not course, yeah. It's not something you expect.
Yeah. Not to say none of these winners are good.
Right, right. It's not something you would expect at this thing, and yeah. It stands out for that reason, and mm-hmm. that's probably part of it too.
Right.
Yeah. So
like if Rev showed up with Double Barrel, oh yeah, you're gonna win best beer. Like, come on, what are you gonna do? Right. It's like, yeah, we brought this. Here's your medal. Just go home. Like.
Let's see what else is going on here. That was a little bit of news.
Yeah, but then you mentioned Three Floyds, and mm-hmm. we do have some info that the brew pub is going to reopen.
There are some rumblings. There are some rumblings that the brew pub might open again because they moved the kiosk. The to-go kiosk for all their online orders was at the brew pub, and they moved that to the distillery.
Okay.
So the brew pub's empty now. So that's fueling these rumors that it might open again. Yeah. Dark Lord Day tickets are going to go on sale, I believe, March 18th. And the rumor is that they've got capacity for 9,000 people at Dark Lord Day.
Damn, that's a lot of people.
That's a lot of people. That's going to be a hang. We should go, man. We don't need whatever that we might. We should see if we can just go. And maybe I don't know if we need all the beer, though.
I don't need the beer.
Yeah. I just want to go drink.
Yeah, I'll just hang out
there. See the spectacle.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. Also in news, I don't know if we mentioned this a few weeks ago, but AB let off people from Blue Point. They closed Platform.
Platform, which I believe is in the Cleveland area, Cleveland, Ohio.
Right, they closed it. I think they're moving. They might keep the brand, but they basically shut it down.
Damn.
They let people go just basically like Rolling across Rock, the board, let people like Goose Island go. And then I was listening to an interview on the news this morning or the other day. There's someone from AB talking, and they're like, well, you know, they were down in beer sales. They made money because that's, you know, they just cut costs and typically make money.
Yeah.
But they're like, the area of like seltzer fell out for them, like all those Bud Light seltzer flavors.
Yeah.
That's not there. They're chasing this non-alcoholic kind of area.
Yeah.
They're seeing their cocktails do pretty well, like the Cutwater.
Is that them? Because that's a tequila brand. That's probably AB, right? Yeah.
They have those. Goose Island has those cocktails, too.
I remember that. The Barrel House cocktails.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it's sort of like sounded like... I don't think anyone knows where this market is at the alcohol market.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and they I think the Brewers Association talks all the time about how beer's down. I mean, but people are making, I think people are making more per barrel on beer, but the overall beer consumption is down. I think that was one of their takeaways.
Because it was a beer cruncher on TikTok. He was talking about during the pandemic, a lot of people bought and paid up for like these rare beers from breweries. They opened up their vaults and be like, oh, get this aged beer, get this, and people paid up for it.
Yeah.
And then they thought the demand might have been there, so some places ramped up their barrel programs and how stuff's sitting on the shelves.
Well, shit, phase three, first day of the year, had a blowout cellar raid. Whiskey Hill had a cellar raid recently. Mm-hmm. They announced it today. Oh, Whiskey Hill's opening a third location in fucking
They
have a second location in West, whatever town Ikenok is in.
Oh, again, who's drinking this beer?
They're partnering with pizza at the two locations.
But then like something like... all the bourbon counties, like you can go to a store and find them all.
Maybe all of them.
Yeah, right?
All of them. Yeah. Maybe not this one. Pointing to the bar.
The old Fitzgerald.
But all the other ones you can
find. Even Prop, too.
Yeah.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's just like too much beer, which makes sense on these like layoffs. That sucks for like something like Platform, shutting that down.
I hadn't heard of them before this sale.
Yeah, I had a friend who used, he had family out there, so he'd pick up beer and bring it back, and he really liked them. They had made good beer. But it's sort of like AB is doing now what they said they weren't going to do when they bought all these places.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, you're going to let people go and shut down the things to basically push Budweiser. It's like, Oh, yeah, you are.
You're kind of...
It just took 20 years or 15 years.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. You buy all these brands so that you can go from a distributor level and offer the illusion of choice at airports and stores, right? It's like, no, this is, we can offer you 20 different brands. And no one knows, most consumers don't know it's all the same company. But yeah, I think that's probably why the price on BCS is so high, right? Because I don't know, how much money is AB making off of beers that Goose Island sells annually versus how much they're spending to, you know, house, you know, one of the largest barrel programs for beer in the entire world.
Right, yeah.
You know? They may have a ton of barrels. So, yeah. So that's too bad.
Yeah, even us drinking here, you know, being like, oh, I don't know about this beer, or we want this beer. I don't know. I think we're all over the place, and we don't even know what we want.
Yeah.
From, like, look, I picked up this Black Pilsner. I wouldn't pick it up again. It wasn't bad, but someone else may love it and might want to pick it up all the time. It's like,
and then if you're them, if you're that crew, naming it a Black Pilsner is going to get people's attention.
Yeah,
you're like, well, you're like, huh? You're like, you know how the dog hears something that's weird to sound like, huh? You know, yeah. If this, you know, it sucks. I'd like to see Goose drive more events from their new brewery at Salt Shed. Even like do the Black Friday stuff there, you know, just have more events in general, right? If those are kind of things that pick up sales, because at their core, they're a activations company that does killer parking parties.
Yeah.
And they're brewery, but the activations is their sweet spot.
Yeah. But if we question like who's drinking this beer, or where are people drinking this beer, or what do they want? It's got to be real hard for the people actually making the beer.
Oh, dude.
I don't know, armchair comment on this. Like,
we definitely, we shoot from the hip and we tell you how stuff feels, but we have no skin in the game. We are not, we don't have a store and we don't make beer.
Whiskey Hill has 3 locations. Beguile has 1. That makes no sense to me. In my like, right?
I don't know. But, you know, the suburbs, man, I think there's people. It used to be, you know, we said this before. It used to be that if you were in the burbs, all the food and all the beer was better in the city. And you went to the burbs for different reasons, you know, taxes, kids, whatever, more space. But all the cool shit was in the city. We're not in that anymore. And I would think what you're seeing is these suburbs, there's a lot of suburb pride, so much so that they'll romp other suburbs. The city could be closer to them, but they'll go and just hit up other suburbs.
Well, they're afraid of the city.
Also, they're afraid of the city. Literally, and the parking sucks and all this kind of stuff. But you're seeing this kind of suburban, what's the word? I said pride. You're seeing the suburban pride as you didn't really see before.
Yeah.
So, but people, and then, you know, suburbs have historically just been, you think we drink in the city, and there's less stuff to do in the burbs, you're probably drinking just as hard, probably more.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, so, you know, so it kind of makes sense. It kind of makes sense, man, you know.
Doesn't make sense why Whiskey Hill has 3.
You know, it's funny.
One dovetail.
So the Whiskey Hill story said that they're partnering with Salerno's, the pizza joint. So there's like
Sbarro's?
No, Salerno's, not Sbarro's. That's where the Fat Boys were in Crush Groove when they went to the mall and ate all that pizza and then sang that All You Can Eat song. That's Sbarro's. I hate Sbarro's, by the way. Oh, no, this is Salerno's. There's like, I don't know, there's like 6 Salerno's locations. Oh, but the reason I brought it up is because that Whiskey Hill, this is the exact same thing they did in Rogers Park.
Okay.
It was a satellite Whiskey Hill location.
It failed. Yeah.
It was a pizza and a satellite brewery, and it went nowhere.
Okay.
And now it's resurfacing in Mount Prospect. But... like a $1 million project. So I think the city's behind it. The town's behind it.
And this is exactly what the urban renewal guy said, was if he was to do it again, he'd open the suburbs because people will just drink it. People will just go. And the city people are a little more like, that's not good enough, or that's not fancy enough, or that's not my vibe.
He could have chosen different words to say it, but...
He said, "I can make mediocre beer and people will drink it in the summer."
He probably shouldn't have said it that way. But I think what he was trying to get at was that he could, a brewery in some of these towns is super exciting. Yeah, because they're always leaving their town. They're always leaving their village to go do something fun.
Right.
Right.
And it's cheaper. The rent's probably going to be cheaper. Yeah. You can have more space. You can have the tap. You can have the brew pub. So.
Yeah.
But he chose poorly his words. But
he probably shouldn't have said it that way.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And now he's gone.
Right. So Whiskey Hill being like, I failed in Rogers Park, but I could open in, you know, right across the street in Skokie and kill it. But
because where's I'm not sure where Mount Prospect is. I think it's over by like Microphone. I think Mount Prospect. Yeah.
Sure.
So yeah, Westmont, maybe they'll say Woodridge. I don't know. Westmont, Woodridge, and Mount Prospect.
Hoffman Estates.
Hoffman Estes. I used to work with a guy. He would always call it Hoffman Estes. I'm like, that is not how you say it. Or Portillos. I hear people say Portillos that are not from around here. Portillos. Jesus Christ. But yeah, so good for them.
All right.
This thing is off the rails, man. What the fuck are we doing, man? It's this black pilsner, man.
It's probably like 33%. Can't tell. All right, let's get out of here. Nick, where can people find you? Get in touch when you're out eating burgers in the suburbs.
Hey, man, I'm on Twitter, at Nicosio.
And I'm on Twitter at BRAD, Chicago Beer Pass, Twitter, Instagram, website chicagobeerpass.com. Episodes are there. And we'll be back soon with another episode. Take care.
Cheers.